a moment, but the book of Jude, let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. And Lord, tonight that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank you so much for your great love and mercy that you've shown to us tonight, your blessings you poured out upon us. And Lord, tonight we endeavor to look into your word and we try to learn more about you tonight. Dear Lord, we ask you that you might lift up Jesus, that we might tonight proclaim him and proclaim how him glorified this evening. We ask you now to forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings. Guide us and direct us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The book of Jude is kind of the preamble to the book of the Revelation. It's kind of like the front porch, the foyer into which you enter. Because I believe that Jude, as he writes this particular letter, and Jude started off wanting to write about the common salvation. He tells us that in the first three verses of this particular book. He wanted to write about Jesus. He wanted to lift up Christ. He wanted to preach about the salvation that Jesus brought from the cross of Calvary. But the Holy Spirit had something else that Jude needed to write about to make people aware of this evening. And that was in verse number 3, he said that we should earnestly contend for the faith. That we tonight should earnestly, that we mean tonight that we should have a great desire that we tonight should always be willing to defend the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I want you to think about that with me for just a moment, because the faith that he's talking about here is not our faith that we have in Christ. Now, it can involve that, but the faith that he's speaking of here is the doctrine of the Word of God. He's speaking of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He's speaking of the doctrine of the gospel. And he said that it was once delivered unto the saints, that it's something that's not changeable this evening. A lot of folks think the gospel is changeable. A lot of folks think the Bible is changeable. But Jude said, but I'm writing to you, I want to exhort you, I want to encourage you that you earnestly, that you always be on the firing line for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. There'll never be another gospel. There's not another book of the Word of God that will be written. It's written, it's settled, it's over forever this evening, and it's unchangeable. I can't change the Bible. I don't want to change the Bible. It's immutable this evening. But as he begins to write this particular letter, he begins to warn us of certain things that will take place. He begins to warn us of men that will creep in unawares. He began to warn us about different things tonight of people who in the last days will especially begin to try to change the faith this evening. And I want you to look down in verse number 11, or verse number, let's read verse number 9 begin with. He said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But that what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the error of Balaam, and have perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, we are given three examples here that we should be on the lookout for. He said, woe unto them. A great danger tonight. They've gone in the way of Cain. Now, the way of Cain tonight was to change the way that God accepts people this evening. You study the book of Genesis, and you find that when God brought, when Cain and Abel brought the first offerings before the Lord, and, you know, I don't mean to try to disrespect the Word of God this evening, but God had evidently, this is not recorded for us in the Word, but God had given instructions through Adam, I really believe tonight, of how he should be worshipped, how he could be approached this evening. And all through the Scripture tonight, it is with blood. And when Cain and Abel appeared before the Lord, we find, of course, that Cain attempted to bring for him the bountiful harvest and the beautiful things that he had harvested by the talents of his own hand. Of course, Abel brought the blood of a slain animal this evening. The doctrine of Canaan tonight, or the way of Cain tonight, is to change the way that God accepts individuals this evening. We're living in a time when there's a lot of people who've gone in the way of Cain. That God accepts you because of this or because of that. But this evening we need to understand that the only reason God accepts us tonight, the only reason God will accept our worship this evening, is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot approach God tonight any other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we can approach God tonight, the only way we can be accepted of the Lord tonight, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus tonight. It's His blood that cleanses us from our sins. It's His blood tonight that's poured out upon the mercy seat. It's His blood tonight that grants us access into the holy place of God. It's His blood tonight that allows us to be forgiven of our sins and one day to walk upon a street of gold. But a lot of people in the day and age in which you and I live this evening have gone in the way of Cain, and they're attempting to show other ways tonight that you might approach God. And there are many different examples we could use. Some tonight think that the Muslims tonight, because they're sincere in their worship of Allah tonight, the Buddhists and all of these other people who are sincere in their worship this evening, can approach God the same way that we can approach God. And we're often called narrow-minded. We're called fundamentalists. We're called many different names this evening because today people think you can approach God any way you want to. They want to change the way that you approach God, but you can't do that this evening. That's the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. Well, there's a lot of folks tonight that run greedily after the heir of Balaam. You see, Balaam wanted both sides tonight. More importantly tonight, Balaam wanted the rewards of this world. He wanted what this world had to offer instead of what God had to offer this evening. He had rather had the gold tonight than he had to have God. And this evening there's a lot of people in this world who are doing the same thing. They're running greedily after the heir of Balaam. Then he gets this other one tonight, and this is the one I want you to look at with me for just a moment. That is the gainsaying of Korah. And the word gainsaying there means to do something to promote yourself. And let me just boil it down. It really is about rebellion this evening. That's what Korah did. Korah rebelled against the authority of God. And you know, the Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Samuel that rebellion is as witchcraft in the sight of God. That's a pretty serious charge tonight when you get right down to it. When you rebel against the Lord tonight, God said it's the same as practicing witchcraft. Now, that's pretty serious this evening in the eyes of the Lord, for what I'm concerned tonight. But I want you to notice with me just a moment about the gainsaying of Korah. And the story of Korah is found in the book of Numbers, chapter number 16. And let's listen, look at it real quickly this evening and see what the Lord says there for just a few moments this evening. Now, first of all, I want you to see the character of the people who rebelled. Notice who they are this evening. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peloth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now, we're introduced here to this man by the name of Korah. And he was actually Moses' cousin. And we find that he was of the tribe of Levi. And as you read down through this chapter, you find that he was in the service of the Lord. He was working in the tabernacle. He was working tonight doing and serving the Lord as a priest of the tribe of Levi. And the Bible said that they were First of all, it said 250 princes of the assembly. When we read the word prince, we think, well, that's a really good person. That's a prince tonight. That's an individual tonight who has great potential. That's an individual tonight who has great prestige this evening. The Bible said, famous in the congregation, men of renown. That's their character. You know, you read that and you would think, boy, these are great people. Here's some of the most wonderful people in the entire congregation of the Lord. They're serving the Lord. They're devoted to God. They're princes. They're famous tonight. They're men of renown. They're those that are looked up to by others tonight. That's who Korah was tonight. That's his character to begin with. You know, a lot of times we look around and we see people like this and we think, boy, look how great they are. Look how wonderful they are. They're great. They're serving the Lord tonight. And I hear people many times talk about certain individuals tonight and how that they're serving the Lord and how what a wonderful person they are. And you see a lot of folks tonight like this. These are men of renown. Famous and princes. But I notice what they did. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And you see, the problem was they weren't just against Moses and Aaron. This is where people better understand. This is where tonight you have to understand what's happening here. If you'll look with me, look at verse number 11. And it said, "And for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord." You remember what God told Samuel? He said, "Samuel, they didn't reject you. They rejected me." You see, they said to Moses, "Moses, you've took too much upon yourself. You're taking far too much. We're just as good as you are, Moses." That's what they're saying. Notice what it said. It said, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." He said, "Moses, you're just making yourself to be way too much tonight. You're lifted yourself up above the congregation. Everybody in the congregation is just as good as you are." And you know, if Moses was to be honest, and tonight, and I believe that Moses would have been, he would have probably said, "You're exactly right. I'm no better and I'm no more holy than anybody in this congregation." But you see, the problem wasn't tonight that Moses was taking too much upon himself. You see, God had chosen Moses to do this. And that's where you have to differentiate. That's what Moses is saying here. And you see tonight when people go the way of Korah, they'll begin to rebel against the authority of God. And when you rebel against the authority of God tonight, then you're in grave danger. You see, we live in a time when people want to rebel against the authority of God. That's what Jude was talking about here. They, tonight, said, "Well, you know, God takes too much upon himself. It doesn't matter tonight what the Bible says. It tonight matters what I say. And I'm tonight greater than God. I have more authority than the Lord." Now, they don't come out and say it in that many words, but that's what they're saying. Let me give you a couple of examples, and I'm not here to make anybody mad, but, you know, I read recently where a person, and I talked to a person recently, and they were talking about the doctrine of the Scripture. And we talked Wednesday night out in the fellowship hall about a couple of things, but I love all of you ladies, I really do. But the Bible teaches that a woman is not to usurp authority over the man. A woman's not to be the pastor of a church. A woman tonight is not to be placed in authority over the man. Now we have a lot of denominations and a lot of churches tonight that are tonight bringing this out and bringing in woman pastors. You know what they're saying? We know more than God. Now, I'm not very, as I read the Scripture, and I can tell you a lot of things that I know about what God wrote there about the usurping the authority, about how that He said that a woman's not to speak in the church, and we could dwell on that this evening, but I'm not here to dwell on that. I'm not here to try to expound and explain that. It's pretty plain. Now, we could talk about reasons why and all of that, but you know, when it ultimately boils down to the bottom line, it really doesn't make any difference. God said it, and that settled it. And when somebody comes along and says, well, wait a minute, I believe we can do it, you know what they're saying? I'm above God. I know more than God. God took too much on Himself when He wrote that. I mean, we could go into many different areas tonight, and where people, and we see churches tonight as they begin to move into different areas, and they're saying, we know more than God. We're rebelling against the authority of the Word of God. When you don't follow the Scriptures tonight, and I'm not talking about, you know, Paul said over in the book of Timothy one time that some of the things he did it ignorantly. And we can all be ignorant at times. You know? All of us tonight can be ignorant of something, and God can point that out. And I do believe this much, and I want you to understand what I'm about to say. I've been ignorant of some things, and God always sent somebody around or sent the Scripture. Somehow or other, He pointed out my ignorance to me. Be honest, we worked overtime, I guess, but what I'm saying tonight is when we know what God says in His Word and we're willing to rebel against that, we're doing exactly what Korah did. We're saying we know more than God. That's the gainsaying of Korah. That's what he came to Moses and said, Moses, I'm going to rebel against God. You're taking too much on yourself. I'm just as good as you are. I ought to be able to lead this congregation. And look who I've got with me. I've gathered all of these academics. I've gathered all of these folks who are learned in all the languages of the Scripture. And we can show you where that you're wrong, Moses. That's what I hear a lot of people sometimes say. Well, you don't know the language of the times, and you don't know the culture of the times. I don't care. I can read the English. That's all I need to read tonight. You know, you read it in the Greek, and you can read it in the Hebrew. It's always, always the same. God tonight says these things in His Word. And when we say, hey, we're not to do that, or we are to do this way, and we say, well, we know more than the Lord tonight. You know what we're doing? We're rebelling against the authority of God. We're on dangerous ground when we do that. Jude said they perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, as we look at this and we find here that, what did Moses do? Notice verse 4, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Moses was a humble man. He said, that's what we should do. We should fall upon our face before the Lord at times. But the thing I want you to see is, let's go on. Moses said unto Korah, verse 8, hear, I pray ye, sons of Levi, seemeth it a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself to do the service of the tabernacle and of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? He said, do you think it's a small thing that God chose you? You think that it's not an important thing that God has for you to do? You know, you see, they wanted more than what God wanted them to have. They wanted to rebel against the authority of God, what God had said, and they wanted more than what God granted them. You know, the hardest thing in the world, probably in anybody's life, and maybe in any aspect of their life to achieve, is contentment. You find very few people that are content. I mean, sometimes I'm that way myself. You know, we always sometimes want more than what we have, don't we? Very few people are really content. But sad to say, very few people are content with what the Lord has given them and where the Lord is using them tonight. You know, Paul said, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Said, I know what it is to be abased, and I know what it is to abound. I know what it is not to have anything, and I know what it is to have way more than I need. But he said, I've learned this one thing, whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Now, a lot of folks are not content with what the Lord has for them tonight and where they're serving the Lord tonight. And that's one of the great problems we have. Everybody wants to do this and that and the other, and we're looking tonight in our churches tonight, and I see so many things that bother me. One of the things that bothers me, we get away from the preaching of the gospel. We get away from the Lord Jesus tonight because we want to have a bigger church. We want to have a bigger congregation. We want to do this. And a lot of things are so noble and seem so sincere. But we don't want to preach anymore. We don't want to lift up Christ anymore. We don't want to use the King James Bible anymore. We want to go through all of these things tonight. And we want to have all of these events and activities. Why? So we can have more people. Because I'm not content with what we have. You see, we're living in a day and age when we see so much of this rebellion. Of course, we rebel against what God says in His Word. We're not content with what the Lord gives us tonight. You know, Jude said that woe be unto people who are like this. Because tonight, you see, we're not just against the Lord. Or against some man. We're against the Lord. Now, as you read through this chapter in Numbers 16, I want to get, notice what verse 19 said. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Lord Moses, Korah's got his 250 men here with him, the censers. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of those wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all of their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abram on every side, and Dathan and Abram came out and stood in the midst of their... I knew that wasn't right. Pages stuck together. And their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works which I have not done of mine own hand. You see, Moses said it wasn't me, folks. It was the Lord. I can't do anything without God. I helped the rod, but God parted the water. I struck the rock, but God sent the water. God sent them out. It wasn't me, it was the Lord. I put the tree in the water, but God made it sweet. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord maketh a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he's made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They went into the pit. The earth opened up and swallowed them. You see, the main thing we need to understand, like Moses said to everybody else, he said, you better separate from them. You better get away from them. God's judgment's going to come. You know, like we have to get away from certain things tonight. The danger tonight, and we need to be away. We need to stay away from certain people and certain things tonight. And he said, you know, he named who they were here. And I've heard people say, well, you know, you shouldn't do certain things, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do the other. I'm going to read to you a verse of Scripture found way over in the book of Romans in the New Testament, as we find here that Paul, as he's closing out Romans, and he's going to say something, and I want you to listen carefully to what he said. Verse 17, chapter 16. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. None said mark them. How you mark them? I guess you get a magic marker. I think you have to name them, don't you? I think that'd be the way you'd mark them, especially in our day. You know, folks say, well, you ought not to name them. Well, that's what Paul said here, mark them. Why? Because they're not serving the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of people out there tonight, folks, that with good words and fair speeches are deceiving a lot of folks tonight. They're like Korah. They've rebelled against the authority of the Word of God. They've rebelled against God. And judgment's coming. And God said, you better get away from them. You know? Get away from them. Get away from them. Markham, Paul says. Why? Because they're serving their own belly. That's what Korah was doing. That's gainsaying. Serving your own belly. Satisfying your own lust. He said he wanted folks to say, hey, look, there's Korah. He's the leader. You know, well, who's leading y'all? Moses. He wanted to be above Moses. But in reality, what he was saying, I want to be above God. That was a sin of Satan. Rebellion against God tonight. We need to mark them. We need to stay away from them. We need to make sure tonight that we don't associate with people who do not want to rebel against the authority of the Lord tonight, who tonight are going to perish in the gainsaying of Korah. A lot of them out there tonight. And we need to make sure we stay away from them and do what the Lord asked us to do tonight and preach Jesus. Lift him up. You know, I believe the Lord will take care of everything else after that. All right, I appreciate you coming. If you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, and come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We ask you now to take this very simple message. Beauty of the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name.